Yamod Tfila. He spoke about preparation. It's 189. So about the preparation, preparation of the body, preparation of the mind. He spoke about the sense of appreciation that can come from brachas, and we can work that way through the Birkas Kriya Shma. And now he comes to tefillah. And the first thing he says about davening, once again, often counterintuitive. The very first thing he says about davening, Yavod tefillah al tanam shekadim zichram bebrachas akolos kol yisrael. He says you should know we're gonna. Now he comes to Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei is only all about things that apply to all Klal Yisrael. Anything that has to do that's personal, you can if you want to. That's totally optional. You want to add your own personal feels, it's fine. Every single tefillah in Kriya Shema is communal. Don't we always think about it that way? We've got to think about some of them, like asking for Mashiach and asking for Shiva Shoftenu. For Klal Yisrael, Yerushalayim for Klal Yisrael, but I think sometimes think of Atachonin and Hashivenu and Rifaenu is like, you know, personal things. I want to be smart, I want to be successful, I want to make money, I want to be healthy. Like, usually I think you think like, oh, so Baruch Aleinu is personal. It's everything, a new perspective. Everything in Shemoneh Esrei is only Tziburi. And he's going to come back to that soon. So where do we start? What is the first problem? What is the first Raham? What's it about? What's Abbas about?
Establishing God.
Remember establishing God?
The credentials of God.
Credentials of God. What does that have to do with Abbas? Abram Yitzchak and Yaakov.
The first words discovered.
Okay. Yitel libo me'abracha rishona nikras Abbas, ma'os Abbas. There's not one. Let's think about who these Abbas were in that Raham. Not only that they found the Kodesh Baruch when it's true, and the others discovered Roshon, but that the other way around also, that Kodesh Baruch made a promise to the others that he's going to take care of their children. In other words, we may be goals, may be nehem. That's, in a sense, the most important line in the Bracha. You're right. Definitely, the Bracha Babas is where we remind ourselves, along lines of Smichas Gula Tula, and putting Kriya Shema together with Shemoneh Esrei, that to whom we're speaking, but it's also the introduction to tefillah. It's not primarily that, as much as the introduction to further Kuzari, it sounds like the introduction to tefillah is the fact that we have a foot in the door. Introduction to tefillah is that whether we deserve it or not, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a bris with the others. The Gemara talks about that. This is a Haggadah discussion also. Gemara talks about bris avos versus zechus avos. The Gemara says that zechus of the avos that's already worn out, but the bris with the avos that keeps going. What's the difference? The zechus avos is like protects you. Like the avos did incredible mitzvahs. The avos lived incredible lives. So Kadosh Baruch Hu would glad, so to speak, in human terms, would gladly take care of their children as a result. But that has worn thin over the millennia. Avos did live incredible lives. The Gemara says, Zichus Avos is already gone. That will worn through those chips. But Bris Avos is that Kodesh Baruch Hu's promise, so that's not a question of deserving, not deserving, using up, not using up. That's fixed. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a promise to the Avos that Klal Yisrael will continue to survive and thrive. So that doesn't change. And that's the opening line of opening movement of Shemoneh Esrei. Is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, we are, when all is said and done, we are B'nai Avim Yitzchak and Yaakov. We may be goals, may have made them launch. You made a promise to the others, and that's almost like the license that we have to begin this conversation. And then, he points to the second bracha as a bracha that focuses on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If the Rav has famously said in a shir, that Hashem starts at Tiftach, like a matir. Like, who gives me the right to speak to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Puny man, I have the right to talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Achashverosh, you had to get Rosh Hashanah to come in. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchut Malchut. So the first bracha, the Kuzmi say, is like the matir. Maybe I don't really, I should have enough humility to realize I don't really deserve to be having this conversation. But there's a brisavas, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, that's how I can begin. And then, to whom am I speaking? The Kuzri points to that in the next bracha. The bracha Sheinis, and it was Vuros, the Elokim Ba'olam Azev, Memshalam Masmedes. Ribbono Shel Olam has an ongoing relationship and control over this universe. And Nenokai says, what is the bracha of Vuros all about? What is the bracha of Atagiva?
Can
we do whatever he wants? Well, what do we talk about, of course? A lot of Mechayim Eisim. And it's even the Chassidim of Bracha. Right? So it sounds like that's a very central theme. Even though Tchias HaMeisim has maybe happened a handful of times so far on rare spread occasions, it will happen in the future. Okay. So the important Iker and Amunah that Kadosh Baruch Hu has promised and will come through on Tchias HaMeisim. But like, why is that Bracha? And there are other things going on in Bracha too. So Mechnoflin, Rofecholin, Matzah Asurim, those things happen all the time.
Because we see that God is able.
Yeah. On line with the Rebbe Rebbe Levi is presenting it. This bracha is called Gurus, that's what the Gemara calls it. It's Gurus Hashem, general, at the Mishnah. Mishnah and Gemara use the terminology. The overall, as you said before, the overall omnipotence of the Kaddish Baruch, the overall, the fact that Kaddish Baruch has power in general. Kim ba'olam hazeh mishalam asmedes. The Kaddish Baruch has ongoing control of the universe. So where does Tchias HaMeisim come in? Einenu kashya choshvim hativim shu al hativayim asher nisum. It's not, the point is that Ribbono Shel Olam is ongoing mastery of the universe and not that he's the clockmaker who set the world working and then walked away that it is uninvolved. And as you said, Tchias HaMeisim was almost like the raya. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu can do Tchias HaMeisim, that's the ultimate opposite of the principles and rhythms of physics. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in a couple of places develops the idea that he even thinks, see, that the Rambam is up to the Olam Haba in two separate stages. There's the Olam Haba, the fact that we our spiritual selves last, and the fact that our spiritual selves don't end, he says that he thinks is natural. That's in tune with the patterns of the universe. Physical things decay and spiritual things don't. So the fact that our spiritual selves will survive and the fact that our spiritual selves will enjoy the reward, the hopefully pleasant consequences of decisions we make, that all makes a lot of sense. That's all rational. It's not bound by the laws of physics, but the laws of physics only speak to the physical world. But it is natural and it is sensible. But Rambam goes on to say more than one place, speaking against Tchias HaMeisim, Tchias HaMeisim is actually irrational. It runs contrary to the rules of nature. Physical things decay, and you study thermodynamics, right? Entropy. Things naturally fall apart, but the things to come back together again, that's not natural. He says, we believe it's true because, as Rambam points out numerous times, in against Tchias HaMeisim and Mordechai Buch and elsewhere, belief in the fact that God created the universe is logically equivalent to belief that he could do any nace that he wants to do. Right? He created the entire universe. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of time and space and mathematics and physics and rationality. So then, if he created all those systems, obviously he could, if he wants to, suspend them. It will. As Rambam points out, obviously, if you believe in God, you believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu's Borei Olam, Kadmus HaBorei, that Kadosh Baruch Hu came before the universe, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the entire universe, then obviously he could do any mace that he wants to. It's a question of when does he choose to, when does he not choose it. So Tchias HaMeisim, but Tchias HaMeisim says, of course we believe Tchias HaMeisim could happen, but it's not rational. As a matter of fact, that's why the Rambam, as an aside, as the Rambam says, I don't have much to say about Tchias HaMeisim. Rambam says, because it's not rational. We believe it's true because Kadosh Baruch Hu can do it, and he told us through the Nevi'im, particularly Daniel, they will do it. Okay. I know it's an ace, he promised it can happen, so I know it's going to happen. But beyond that, it's not within the realm of rationality, so I can't really analyze. Whatever we know from Nevi'im, from tradition, we know. Whatever we don't know, or when it happens, we'll find out. So that's Tchias HaMeisim. As a matter of fact, it could even be that the reason why Tchias HaMeisim is one of the Ikari Emuna is for the Rambam is exactly that. Is that it's a mace that was promised, that hasn't yet happened. So number one, if our Kadosh Baruch Hu told us it's going to happen, we believe it's going to happen, it hasn't yet happened, so we look forward to it. That makes an Ikari Emuna. And moreover, it's also an example, this is from the Kuzri, not only does it happen to be a mace that has been promised, and therefore we look forward to it happening, but it's an example of that. In other words, it's an example of it's like a case study of HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the sort of the application of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence over the world. Here's an example. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayim Meisim. What a total break with the natural systems that he set up, and an exemplar of the fact that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the universe to be rhythmic in general. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the universe to work with patterns. That's why he created mathematics and physics and so on and so forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to generally be pretty predictable in certain ways. But at the same time, that's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be so. That's not the way it has to be. It's because the Mason is an example and a reminder of that. And that's what the Kuzari, that might be why, again, that might be part of why for the Rambam, it's amazing, not just a true fact, but one of the Ikari Emunah. And that's why for the Kuzari, it becomes the central theme of a bracha that ought to be much more general. So why Gvuras Hashem? Why the focus on Tchias HaMeisim? I think Tchias HaMeisim appears 5 times in that bracha, including being the entire Chasimus of bracha. So the answer is, because eternally boshu who mechayim esim beishiyirtsa in rochak zayim akoshes atzvayim. Remember that's the demonstration of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu really is in full control, even though often it's not as obvious. And from that, as Rabban writes at the end of Bo, you notice that Kadosh Baruch Hu in Nisim Gluyim, so you'll apply that awareness to Nisim Nistarim also. Other things that are more natural. The climate, the weather, the wind, the rain, political changes, matir asurim, physical or political changes. We've seen that in miraculous and non-miraculous ways in the history of Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu was matir asurim, obviously a time in Tzias Mitzrayim in a very miraculous way. Kadosh Baruch Hu was mashav haruach in preparation for Kriyas Yamsuf in a very miraculous way. And then there have been all the time in the flow of everyday life. There's Mashru Achamor Rageshim, there's Matur Asurim in less dramatic ways, but that's all. So if you try to think of what are the key themes of the opening two brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, if the theme of the first bracha, yes, to remember we're addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yes, to remember that we only have the opening that we have to even begin a conversation is only because he's a little cabin, he's like Yaakov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a relationship with the Avos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu probably the Avos is going to maintain a relationship with their Zera come what may. And that, if you take that seriously and think about that honestly, that it definitely generates a sense of humility on our part and a sense of like the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because think for a moment what you're about to do. You're about to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the next step is Chaim Esim. But again, our focus is on, we're speaking to the one who is holding all the cards. There's a reason why we're speaking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the one who has full control of the universe. And that's in the most dramatic ways possible, like Mechai Meisim, and in the Mashar Ruach, or Morad HaGashem, the Samech Noflim, in the ins and outs of everyday life. And Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll pick up with the third figure, where does Atah Kadosh fit in? So far, Avos and Gvuros are some very logical ways to open up a Shemoneh Esrei, to put our minds in the right, put ourselves in the right frame of mind. We'll see where Atah Kadosh goes, and he's soon going to move as well to discussion of the difference between Tfilas HaYachid and Tfilas HaTzibur, which is a very important issue indeed. Okay.